Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks. Molly and Kim.
Hey, happy Monday. Yes, we are the AmeriChicks. Molly Vogt and Kim Monson. I'm Kim Monson.
I'm Molly Vogt.
And check out the AmeriChicks, our website. It's AmeriChicks.com. That's where we are on Twitter and Facebook as well. And our call-in number is 303-632-4160. It's going to be a great show today for you. We have in studio Natalie Minton. She's an RTD board director. And we're going to be talking about this Senate Bill 267. Governor Hickenlooper has said to everybody, come on back. So he's bringing all the legislators back, probably around October 2nd, because apparently they passed this thing so quickly that they didn't include all the taxes that they wanted to.
Oh, my gosh, Kimmy. You know, that kind of reminds me of something the federal government would do. I can't even imagine that the state government would pass legislation without reading all the lines. Obamacare much?
Well, there wasn't really enough time. It went through so quickly. So,
well, maybe we should make sure that things are done knowing when the deadline is so that they have time to actually be good stewards of the people who represented them. Who elected them.
This is true. So Natalie, as an RTD board director, is going to be here because apparently RTD was planning on some money that they didn't get. And so that was one of the reasons why Governor Hickenlooper is bringing everybody back. But before we jump into that, we're going to do that in the second segment. And actually, Senator Neville. Tim Neville is going to be here as well. And he's head of the Senate Finance Committee. So it's going to be a really good discussion. You're going to learn a lot. And we always like to have some real meat in these shows, and I think that you're going to really enjoy this. But before we jump into that, we had a really special weekend. We were up in Grand Lake. We were the MCs for the U.S. Constitution Week mainline event. We were in the parade. It was such a taste of Americana. They had taken the fire trucks and put the ladders up and had a big American flag at the end of Main Street. We were able to throw candy to the kids.
Yes, many of us threw candy to the kids. Kimmy threw a lot in the puddles and in the water.
That was only the first time. Molly said, you throw like a girl. I said, I am a girl.
It was a really good time. And it was very interesting. One of the big takeaways for me, I was listening to Thomas Kranewitter. You know, we had him on the show last week as well. People know him very well. He studies the Constitution and teaches on it very much.
And has a new book.
And has a new book out called...
It's a satire. It's Save the Swamp.
Right. And in it, he's really kind of explaining ironically to, you know, legislators and bureaucrats how to keep their jobs. And it's really just by continuing to fail the people, and results don't matter. And, you know, just, you know, if you pass so many different laws that contradict each other, nobody can keep up with them all. And so regardless, you can always walk into a business and shut them down no matter what, because the laws don't make sense and they contradict each other. And that's pretty sad.
It is pretty sad. Something really funny that happened is on Friday evening, we had gone to Thomas Kranewitter's presentation, got together with some friends. We were back at our place, which was just beautiful. It had a little deck that overlooked Grand Lake, and we heard people, you know, going back and forth. We were just looking at everything. And then we heard something go by Lake Avenue, and we looked over the railing, and there was a bear. It was really, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. It was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool, especially when you ran down to take a picture of it. I thought you were going to get eaten, and I figured I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun Kimmy. That was cool. Something quick I want to talk about, current events. So speaking of Obamacare and Congress not reading legislation before they pass it, you know, the Republicans are trying to repeal some sort of Obamacare PPACA, which we know is not an Affordable Care Act, and come up with something else. They're almost at the end of the fiscal year, so they've got like just a couple weeks left, I think, really to come up with another solution and get something passed. So we've got a new plan that's being brought forward by Senator Bill Cassidy and Senator Lindsey Graham. And what it's going to do is repeal, finally, Obamacare's individual mandate requiring people to get coverage or pay a tax. Even though President Trump said he was not going to enforce the mandate, the IRS, it still had the question on the form. And if you didn't answer whether you had insurance or not, it was okay. They didn't come after you. But if you did answer it and you didn't have insurance, you were charged the penalty this year, Kim. And, you know, the penalty for that amount is either 2.5% of your household income or $695 for an adult, $347 for a child, whichever one's greater.
That's astounding.
Maximum penalty, $2,085 for a household. And so I think it's good to finally, for once and for all, get that mandate pulled back. That's awesome. Also in here, they are going to get rid of the requirement for large employers to provide coverage or face penalties. And it'll scrap the law, that the extra tax on medical device sales. And, you know, that tax on medical device sales really hurts the elderly, because those are the people, a lot of the people that are, you know, getting different things put in them. You know, your body starts to kind of need some extra support. And they say they want to help the poor, the elderly, the needy, the vulnerable. But all that Obamacare has done has really hurt people. And I saw an article in the Investor's Business Daily this week, and it's saying, you know, we should not copy the United Kingdom's failed single-payer system. We know with baby Charlie Gard how bad the system is, because the government said it doesn't matter to the parents, even if you raise enough money to send your kids to America to try to get health care, we're not going to allow it, because the government decides who gets health care, when, and why. Well, now I just saw in this article, they're saying that some hospitals are rationing care in Britain for those who are officially deemed obese. So if you have a body mass index of 30 or more, then you're going to have to wait probably around a year or more for health care.
Well, and Molly, think about it. You know, all the rage has been getting a Fitbit so that you can, you know, see how many steps you take and, you know, all of these different details. That uploads to a computer someplace, or website or cloud, wherever. But somebody has that data now. Now, just think about it. That's the next step, is that the government is then going to get that information. And depending on all that information that's uploaded from your Fitbit, it may determine what kind of health care you get.
Right. And in addition to the Fitbit, you know, when you go to the grocery store and you put in your little phone number to get your discount, they know what food you're buying. So what if I'm overweight and then they're seeing what I'm buying and I'm not buying the right kind of foods? I mean, why should the government be able to tell me what healthcare I can buy with my own hard-earned money? And why should the government be able to tell a doctor what services they can provide for me at the price we negotiate? I think the point that a lot of congressmen and women aren't getting is that when the government requires a private company like an insurance company to cover certain services that people don't need, prices are going to go up for everybody. If the insurance companies are private insurance companies and they don't get money from the government, they should be allowed to offer whatever services coverage they want. That way, if some people say, I'm not going to serve anyone with a body index of 30 or more, fine. Another group will come in and offer it, because that will be a special group that needs services. And that's competition, and that will lower the prices. Government, you're the problem. You're not the solution.
Well, and then the different companies will determine the rate. So perhaps if your BMI is above a certain level and it costs, and it costs more money for you to get health care, then your insurance premiums are going to be higher. So you're either going to choose to work hard to pay those, or you're going to try to make some changes in your lifestyle to bring down those insurance costs. So the free market can really take care of all these things that government says that they want to. I think the other thing that people need to realize is, in this whole Obamacare thing, the insurance companies were paid subsidies from the taxpayer. They're the ones that got that subsidy money, ultimately. And so the big guys are the ones that really have survived, and it has eliminated competition. So it goes back to the big government and big business like each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so, you know, I haven't had the time to look completely 100% through this new bill that Senator Cassidy and Senator Graham are pushing forward. But I just want to say this without even looking at it. Obviously, we're not going to come up with a plan to repeal the entire Obamacare this year, because they can't, the Republicans on the House and the Senate can't agree. But I think that they should peel back as much as possible. And if they have to do a little now and a little later and a little later, fine, do it.
Get something done.
Because if you hold out for all or nothing, the people are going to be dying in the streets.
Well, I think that people are also going to remember that when they go to the vote, when they cast their ballot as well. I think that people, a lot of people that I talk to, Molly, are very frustrated that the veil has been off, that Congress has basically been just, you know, it looks like moving the papers from one side of the desk to the other, because they, when push came to shove, there was not a plan in place to repeal and replace. And the American people, I think, are pretty kind of ticked off about it.
They are. And I've seen that a lot of people on the right and the left are upset that President Trump is sitting down with people on the right and the left. But you know what? That is the art of the deal, and that is the way to get something done. And I don't mind that he's sitting down with everybody. I think that, you know, we need to work together. It's not about backing a person or backing a party. It's about backing policies that either help or hurt Americans. And it's interesting, Nancy Pelosi had a press conference this morning in San Francisco on DACA. She was talking about the good meetings that she was having with President Trump, and that they were working towards putting a deal in place that would be permanent rather than temporary and illegal like DACA was. But illegal immigrants actually showed up at her event and shouted her down today. She couldn't even continue it. 30 minutes they were shouting. She finally went out the back with the rest of the people. She's like, you guys don't understand. But they were saying, we don't want you to be working with Trump. I mean, the point isn't working with the other party. The point is, don't give the farm away, but get something done to protect the people. I think that we're letting politics go too far here. It's not right versus wrong. It's right versus left.
You got it. And I guess Nancy Pelosi now knows what it feels like to be a Republican, huh?
Well, you know, and it's one particular side that always says, shout them down, make them, you know, don't let them talk, make them feel bad, just tell them they're bad people. Don't engage in a kind, quality, intelligent battle of ideas. But that's what America is about, engaging in the battle of ideas. Our founding fathers did it. It worked for them. And we should do that now. Make your case and let's vote on it. We're humans. We're civilized. It's 2017. Stick with us. It's the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim on KDMT. We'll be right back with Natalie Minton and Senator Tim Neville.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees. Active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516, or visit her online at Karen-Levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you. Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Have a great night out and watch the best movies under the stars at the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. All new movies are a triple feature and only $8. Children under 12 are free. Stay for one or all three. 88 Drive-In Theater, the last remaining original drive-in theater in the Denver metro area. And they've been serving the community since 1972. Be sure to visit their delicious snack bar. Monday through Thursday, get their special pizza deal. One 12-inch pizza and two 16-ounce sodas, all for only $11. Be sure to try the delicious funnel cake with up to four toppings to choose from. For more info on movie showings and times, visit 88drivein.com. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks send you.
Hey, welcome back. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. And check out our website. It's AmeriChicks.com, as well as that's where we are on Twitter and Facebook. Call-in number is 303-632-4160. You may want to call in because we've got a couple of great segments here in very important information. Before we get to that, though, Molly, I'm very excited here. Probably this week, EvanYourITGuide.com is going to be going live. And Evan is a network of IT professionals ready to provide on-demand help with all of your computer needs. In particular, they are helping individuals as well as small businesses. So go to EvanYourITGuy.com, and if you want a free webcam cover, and those are really handy, we both have one, Just click the Discover tab, and you'll see free webcam cover. Click on that. Fill out the contact information, and be sure and give them your mailing address. Tell them that you know us, and you'll get one in the mail. And that is evanyouritguy.com. Be sure and check it out. It's great for individuals, small businesses, 24/7. Help with all of your computer needs, and they should be going live this week.
Yes, they should. evanyouritguy.com. And so let's get to the brass tacks here. You know, when the government at the federal level or the state level or the local level is going to pass something that's going to affect we the people and our money and our finances and our health care and our transportation, they should read the bill before they vote on it. Otherwise, oops, oh, there's a mistake. And now we got to go back into special session. Governor Hickenlooper is calling back the legislators in October to do some rework on Senate Bill 267.
So in studio with us is Natalie Minton, and apparently there was something that was left out of Senate Bill 267. It was done very quickly near the end of the session, and she's an RTD board director, and apparently RTD has lost some money on that. So welcome, Natalie Minton.
Thanks, and just to start it off, first of all these opinions are all my own and not on behalf of the RTD board. But yeah, 267 was rushed through in the last days of the session. And during that time, there was a typo made in the behind-the-scenes work, which has reduced income to RTD to the tune of about $500,000 a month. It relates to the marijuana tax. And really, RTD was only briefed or aware of this problem when the Colorado Department of Revenue sent a notice that there were going to be changes to sales tax collections. Until that point, RTD didn't know about it, so it came up all of a sudden. Then it became public, and there was not only RTD affected by this mistake, and granted it was a mistake, part of the reason, but anyway, there's a few other entities, before I go off on that, a few other entities that were affected by it, including the Science Cultural Facilities District, which is the zoo, and SCFD actually distributes money, my understanding, to potentially hundreds of organizations. So there were a lot of public agencies and perhaps nonprofits affected by the legislation.
So, Natalie, real quick, why were these particular groups left out? Was it just that it was a line item, they were supposed to be listed and they weren't? Or how did it specifically, unfortunately, carve out that group?
It was one sentence that was just omitted, again, within the last days of the session. So how it got in there is not quite clear, but everybody agrees. It's clear they're clearly left out. That tax was no longer collected as of July 1st. And so there are some arguing right now that since that tax went away, that if you were to replace it, put it back in, it in fact would be actually a new tax per, technically that's the way it would fly. But there's many who have an argument with 267 beyond that, had a disagreement with it before that point, that it incurred debt that the voters never got a say on, and it went around the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights. So whether it should have even been passed is a question at large for the whole bill. There are a lot of people that would like to see that go back to the drawing table. And when it comes out of there with this fix, it goes to the voters for their approval, like we feel or believe we're guaranteed under Taxpayer's Bill of Rights, which is in our Constitution.
Well, do you have an ear to the street on this? This is really fascinating, Natalie. And actually, I mean, technically, if you would go in and then reinstitute this tax, I mean, in the kind of the letter of the law, it seems to me like, yes, and the people should have to vote on that.
I would agree. And some may say, well, that's taking it too far. But I don't have quite enough confidence in government for them to not use this as a precedent. So that in the future, if something were like, well, it was an accident, didn't mean to lapse. We meant to go back to the voters. So I'm concerned about that. What does it say moving forward? And should it be just better to clear this up ultimately with the debt issue that was the certificates of participation were in part of 267? That's $3 billion in debt that we did not get a say in. Also, how about the single subject rule with this bill?
Right.
This thing hits everything from left to right and all over the planet on the issues that were part of the bill. It started out with taking the hospital provider fee, which many people argue, and moving that out from under the revenue limits under Taxpayers' Bill of Rights. When they did that, they started this big snowball of other problems.
Now, we are talking with Natalie Minton. She's an RTD board director, and it had come to the RTD board's attention that in Senate Bill 267, which was rushed through at the very end of the legislative session, that a sentence was left out that, in essence, in leaving that out, it got rid of or no longer would collect the tax on some of the marijuana money. And this money went to, did any of it go to schools as well, or was it just RTD, SCFD, do you know?
Just the part that was left out just affects RTD, the special districts.
Okay.
So it's not schools.
Okay. And so once people realized that, they said, wait a minute, that wasn't what we meant to do. And I'm sure there was kind of whining and gnashing of teeth that there was money that had been used to be collected and wasn't going to be collected. So hence, Governor Hickenlooper says, okay, legislators, come on back in October and we're going to fix this.
Yeah, it was quite a surprise, actually, because it's so late in the session that we've got it, them opening up, they're drafting new bills for the next session anyway. So to call in a special session, it makes one wonder, you know, like to be a fly on the wall in some of the conversations that drove that to this position, because that's quite a big step. You don't find special sessions that often. Mm-hmm. And for something that amounts to, in RTD's case, $500,000 a month for us as a $1.3 billion agency, it's, you know, not real huge. So it was a real surprise. And again, with a short amount of time, but here we are. The governor has asked for it.
Right, because they would go into session right after the first of the year.
Right.
Which isn't that far away.
Right.
Natalie, do you happen to know who found the mistake? Does anybody know?
I can tell you from the RTD end, we only knew about it when the Colorado Department of Revenue sent a notice. And I think my understanding, so I'm going to say 99% sure, is when you are any of the agencies or the businesses and you have one of these many changes that can come around, like the vendor fee. This year we'll allow you the vendor fee. This year you don't get the vendor fee. And other little small changes, you get a notice. And it's, and sometimes would say, here's a new sales tax booklet, because we had this change. So that's what it would have been essentially saying. So RTD gets this notice, and that's the only, just a notice that I think many other agencies would have gotten. That's how we found out about it.
And the reason we're talking about this today on the AmeriChicks Molly and Kim show here on KDMT Denver's Money Talk Radio is because this affects your wallet. Again, in Colorado, we have TABOR, Taxpayer Bill of Rights, that says if the government here wants to raise your taxes, they have to ask us. And our legislature did not ask us when they passed this last session. Another quick question, Natalie, for you. I saw that a part of Senate Bill 267, about 10% of that was going to be allowed to go towards multimodal transportation other than roads. Was that possibly left out on accident, or is that going to get the funding?
Well, I would actually have to get the bill in front of me. There's so many pieces on that one, and that's in your notes. I don't have the bill text pulled up right in front of me. So I'm going to, before answering what was the source and where did the fund go, let me clarify. I believe that would be out of the $500,000 because there's no other part of that bill that affects us.
Okay.
But if the funding was taken out, and that's what that sentence was, this, it was from a marijuana purchase, is where that sales tax was generated, and then it goes to RTD. That completely there was a sentence left out where the funding is.
Right. Well, and what we're talking about here is Senate Bill 267, again, passed at the end of the legislative session, and it really flies in the face of many, many things. And Molly just asked about the multimodal transportation. Is in Colorado, we're supposed to have one bill. It's supposed to be one subject. I just don't quite understand how this became such a salad bowl of all these different issues.
Yeah, it doesn't make salad, that's for sure. I mean, you start out with a hospital provider fee. You've got transportation tied into it. You've got schools tied into it.
Medicaid.
There's so many different subjects that goes to the root of it. The reason for the single subject was to make issues very clear. And when even the legislators themselves, the language is so tangled, one can easily, I guess, understand when all of a sudden one sentence is missing, but you're looking at such a garbled chunk of legislation that, you know, a mistake could be made.
This looks to me...
Especially when they're, you know, they're running around. You've seen them down at the Capitol in the last few days. I mean, they're literally can be running around from place to place. Mm-hmm. Just goes back to, if this had gone to the voters, we would have had months instead of just days to vet this bill.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it looks to me like let's make a deal. There's something in here for lots of different entities. And so it looks to me, this is my own personal opinion, is I'll vote for this if you do this, you vote for this if you do this. Because this is not a single subject. This is all kinds of things. And to me, it looks like let's make a deal.
Yeah. Well, and you know, there are some legislators that we think have done a good job in the past and a good job on certain subjects that caved on this one. So that kind of makes me curious as well. Why was it done in such a rush? And why did so many people that normally stand for the Constitution say, oh yeah, let's not send this to the people as our Constitution requires?
Mm-hmm. And earlier in the week where this all happened, or within a week, we'd been down at the Capitol, had testified against 1242, which was this massive transportation funding bill. There was $3.5 billion in that bill that was unaccounted for. That's a lot of money, my friends. And so that died in committee, kind of took a breath, and kind of had heard this whole hospital provider fee thing was out there. But I want to say, and I think Senator Neville's probably caught in traffic, and so I want to ask him this, but it was like Thursday afternoon, this whole deal is being struck. Friday, it kind of comes out. Monday morning, you and I were at a meeting and really learned about it at that time. And when we realized what was going on, I started calling senators. And this was Monday morning, not very much time. And I got to one of the senators, talked to one of his staff, and she said, oh, that already passed this morning. I mean, this thing went through so quickly. It was absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, if you've got to rush something without letting the people hear about it and know about it and decide about it, how do you sleep at night? You know, right? It's so sneaky. And then you could say, oh, we overlooked that. We overlooked that. It was so fast. Well, learn from your mistakes. Take the time, read it, or don't pass it because it affects all of us, even you. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim on KDMT. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back. Join the conversation, 303-632-4160. We're talking about your money, your wallet, and the government's role. We'll be right back.
Dude, I need help. How can I perfect my golf swing and keep my promise to put in a whole new kitchen by next month?
No worries. Call Rafe and Colin at Harmony Ridge Construction. They've been doing this for 40 years all over the globe. Trust me, they'll make you look like a genius, and you'll have more time to perfect that golf swing. You really need to work on that.
Great. I'll give Harmony Ridge Construction a call today. What's their number?
720-660-0265. Or visit them online at harmonyridgeconstruction.com. They're best for any small fix or large remodel. They'll help you out.
Guy Whidden, 101st Airborne, landed Normandy in the dark on D-Day 1944, was knocked out on the jump, woke up, a gun to his head. What happened next? If you love the AmeriChicks World War II project on Fridays and know a World War II vet, we'd love to share their story. We're in a race against time to gather as many stories as possible and as quickly as possible to preserve them for all future generations. So if you know a World War II vet or have that great World War II story to share, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com.
And now, the Lens of Liberty. Here is Helen Kriebel.
A veterinarian in Massachusetts is studying how women react when they're shown photographs of their children and their dogs. She hopes to find out whether mothers love their dogs as much as their children. Like millions of Americans, my dog is a treasured family member and a reliable companion. So why does that relationship require a scientific study? The federal government paid $370,000 for it. If federal administrators would look through the lens of liberty before giving out millions of dollars worth of these silly grants, they would realize the source of the money. It comes from the taxes of hardworking Americans who already know, without a government study, how much we love our dogs.
For more information, go to lensofliberty.org. That's lensofliberty.org.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. You know, fall is in the air and it feels good and warm and cozy, and I think it's time to maybe go to a drive-in movie theater. Check out the 88 Drive-In Movie Theater. Our friend Susan Koshevar owns it. It's the longest standing drive-in movie theater in Colorado. And start right now through, I guess, a week from now. I don't have it in front of me. Forgive me. But the new movies are Lego, Ninjago Movie, and that's at 7 o'clock. Then It, which is scary, 8:50. And Annabelle Creation, which is also scary, at 11. So check them out. But you can also go to 88drivein.com.
Yes, it'll be a great evening with the family for that first movie, and then probably dates for the scary part there. So,
so oh, you do know the game, don't you, Kimmy?
I do know the game. Yeah. I do, definitely. So, hey, in studio with us is Natalie Minton, RTD board director. Now, she's here. She is an RTD board director, but she's talking as Natalie Minton citizen. So I went and make that clear. But we were talking about 1242, and Natalie, you had a thought about that.
Yeah, as we were talking about that, the 1242 dealt with transportation, and the proposal was to increase the state sales tax to pay for
17%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was another competing initiative out there from a group of citizens called Fix the Damn Roads.
What a great idea.
And no matter what, we're going to continue to have this conversation. Because 267 really didn't, that was $500,000 to RTD, but it didn't address roads. And as we move into this next legislative session, I know it's going to come up again, so I'd encourage everybody to Google the name Fix the Damn Roads. And what it's really about is prioritizing money spent by the Colorado state government, which is partly Colorado Department of Transportation, and look at some of these things where we're spending money on promoting vineyards and the movie industry and the incentives that can go to the proposal address some of these strange expenditures. And when you have to look at money that government agencies claim, and in some cases may be somewhat true, their funds are stretched, you have to look at where we're spending taxpayer mm-hmm. money. And if we're incentivizing movie productions versus roads, do we really have our priorities straight? So I just wanted to add that reminder that it's going to come up again, and everybody should just kind of get aware of what's going on, the conversations.
Well, and Natalie, to that point, people do want our roads fixed. I mean, that is something that people, it's important to them. So while they're shaving money off over here for other things, I feel that they've neglected our roads and our bridges. And in fact, they've been shaving anywhere from 20 to 30% out of the highway user tax fund for anything but roads and bridges. And but I think that politicians and bureaucrats are looking at that and saying, we know this is what people will want to spend money on, so we will run a tax increase for that while we're shaving all this other money off for all of these other kind of fluffy things. And those, I don't think that those are the proper role of government.
No, I agree. Are they going to go out and promote every single type of business out there? I know we give a lot of grants. You can find this online through the state transparency site if you can get to it and it works properly.
It's only transparent if you can get to it, right?
That's right. Promoting vineyards. Is it really the role of government to promote the wine industry versus should they then be promoting the tire industry? Should they be, you know...
Well, if they're promoting wine, they should be promoting chocolate.
There you go.
Because they go together.
So... You know, to answer your question, no, I don't think that's government's role, and I think a lot of people agree that's not government's role.
Yeah. And the other thing about this House Bill 1242, and we just very gently said this, but it was a 17% sales tax increase, and that really, that hurts typically the people on the lowest rungs of the economic ladder, because basically, you know, their goods and things that they need, that's going to be a 17% state sales tax increase on those things. And when we, you know, we talk about compassion and trying to help people, I would submit to you that when they're saying one thing, but the real results is something totally different.
Well, it certainly was a questionable part of the discussion, because that's really, sales tax can be a regressive tax, as you just stated, affecting those on a lower income more, taking more of their available income. And compared to, for instance, having a really honest discussion about the gas tax. Money that's going to the feds, and then they're using these carrots in front of states to get their money back. And you've got the pork projects out in the, you know, out there that are diverting money to bridges that have questionable use. So bringing back a lot of those controls to a local level and then having an honest discussion about, are we running ads on TV for something that's really necessary, or are we putting it into a bridge repair that's needed, you know, as an example.
Mm-hmm. So, Natalie, let's switch gears just a little bit right now and just give us some information maybe about the state of RTD and utilization. Can you give us a quick little line on that?
I'm sorry, the state of our light rail?
Rail utilization.
Sure. There's been, and you probably asked because there's been quite a bit of news lately with the R line, which I mean, I've realized I've been using that name, but to make it easier for people to know, it's the I-225 rail line. So it stretches from Peoria down to the Lincoln Station, and that opened in February of this year, and the ridership has been really shockingly low. With a line having been open right around 6 months, one would expect that, you know, it needs some time to grow into it. But with the numbers that are being produced there, the boardings per hour, the actual use, and I've had people ask, well, how do you even know? Do you have counters on there? Yeah, we do have counters on the trains. And when you step on a train or off a train, it's basically sensing that and creating these ridership stats. So with the R line, right now that's sitting at about 41 boardings per hour.
Wow.
For a long length of rail line. And we've already are proposing to make some service adjustments, and there's been quite an outcry.
Seen that. It's lots of headlines.
Yeah. It's too soon. Give us months. Well, I'd like to say this to the public in Aurora. There's no way everybody's writing me and maybe stating this, there's no way they're writing the system, because the numbers show that there can't be, because we don't have that high in numbers. Mm-hmm. Is to get out and ride it and use it. Otherwise, we're going to have to make service adjustments, because we do have to account to the taxpayers. And that is not a good bang for your buck when we've got ridership like that. So Westline's going to face some changes. We've got public hearings coming up here in the next 2 weeks. So if somebody wants to get details, they should go to rtd-denver.com. And you'll find down at the lower end service hearings. And I would ask taxpayers to show up there and be part of the conversation, because it is your money, and where you pay it is sales tax on almost anything that you buy. So you're the stakeholders. Please show up to the hearings and have a say in it.
We highly recommend that. You know, 90% of life is just showing up. And we can start to make a difference by showing up and understanding and engaging in these issues. So,
And I think that there's a good comparison that can be made here, and we can learn from history, because in very recent history, when the government is subsidizing something, the majority of something, for people, and they don't want it, like the light rail or Obamacare, then maybe that point is the government is creating a solution with our money that we don't want, so they should pull back, give us our money back, and let the free market do it.
I agree. So, hey, we are going to jump back in here. It's a great show. You know, lots of moving parts. There's always traffic out there. And Senator Tim Neville has just joined us. Senator Neville, thank you for being here with Natalie Minton, Molly, and I.
Well, Molly, Kim, and Natalie, it's great to be here. Finally, when I fought through that traffic out there, it'd be nice if we fixed those roads, wouldn't it?
And fix the damn roads. Oh, can I say that? Okay. So, Senator Neville, we have just a couple of minutes, and we're going to go to break, so we're going to have to really stay on this. But
sure.
Something unique is going to be happening here in October. Governor Hickenlooper is calling a special session regarding Senate Bill 267. So what's your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are it's kind of interesting when the governor, you know, looks at a weighty situation to make a decision to actually call a special session. He actually picks this issue. It's kind of interesting. I'm not sure what was happening when we understood there might be a problem here with a bill that was 70 pages, that was a strike below, that was done on a Thursday night so it could go through through appropriations on a Friday to be able to pass before sine die on Wednesday. What could go wrong? Well, I guess we're finding out what could go wrong. There wasn't a lot right with 267 from the get-go. So now the governor believes that that it's his decision. I'm not sure what happened in June and July and August when they understood that it might have a problem here. But he's decided that in September or in October it would be a good time to call a special session and spend some more of the taxpayers' money to try to make Colorado safe for government again.
It is really a head scratcher to me. I really can't figure that out, although sometimes I can't figure government out. So And I guess that happens.
And you were actively a part of the government when you were with city council, Kimmy.
Well, this is true. This is true. So this special session is going to be in October. So mm-hmm. October to November, November. So 3 months. In 3 months, we're going to be back in session. And
that's correct. Yeah.
And it seems like it could be fixed at that time. Yes or no?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, it's I think that was the sort of an original thought. If there was going to be anything going on, it would get taken care of in January.
Okay, well, we are going to go to break. We have in studio with us Natalie Minton, RTD Board Director, and Senator Tim Neville. And we're talking about this special session regarding Senate Bill 267 that was passed very quickly at the end of the session. And apparently there was a little mistake, so we hear. So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll be with Senator Neville and Natalie Minton.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516. Or visit her online at karen-levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing from the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, chances are your future clients do too. Let us help you promote your business and fatten up your wallet. To feature your business on the AmeriChicks program, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. We feature the most topical news and intriguing guests every weekday during afternoon drive time, 5 to 6 p.m., while you and your clients are enjoying the program on your way home from work. So become a sponsor today by emailing the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com. Or visit us online at AmeriChicks.com.
Today you need to have a great online and social media presence, and the best in the biz is Desi On Demand. The AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, personally work with Brandon, the founder of Desi On Demand. Desi On Demand is instrumental with our video projects, Chick Chat, Eggs, Exceptional Endeavors, and our World War II project. We most heartily endorse his creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity. Brandon and his team bring all that to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com or call 303-359-1522 for more info, and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Our website is AmeriChicks.com. There's all kinds of great information there. All of our shows are archived there as well, Molly. And we are the AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter. We have in studio with us Natalie Minton, RTD Board Director. A lot of great information. And then zooming in is Senator Tim Neville. And Senator Neville, before we get into this other question, you are running for re-election, yes?
That's correct.
Okay.
In Senate 16, which are parts of Denver County, a little bit of southwest Denver, a lot of south and west Jefferson County, all of Gilpin County, and a little section of Boulder County.
Okay. And what is your website?
NevilleForColorado.com.
Okay, great. And if you get our weekly email, I had linked both of your websites to your names there, so people can get information there as well. So we're talking about Senate Bill 267 that I recall you mentioned Wednesday. The rewrite was Thursday night.
That's correct.
It went through, you said, appropriations on
Friday morning.
Friday. I was at a meeting on Monday, and when we understood what was going on, I actually started to call senators' offices in the morning and got to one of the staff, and they said, it's already been voted on in the Senate, and it was out. And so it was then signed, sealed, and delivered by Wednesday? Is that what happened exactly?
That's correct. I mean, Wednesday was sign, he dies, so that was the deadline. It needed to clear the Senate and, you know, by Monday so that it could go over to the House on Tuesday to be able to be, you know, passed in the House and make sure everything is great to go for Wednesday for approval.
Okay.
So,
well, let's let you jump in. We were talking during break on Senate Bill 267, and we have talked with Natalie about kind of the salad bowl of all of the subjects. We've talked about the timing. We only have really about 10 minutes, so mm-hmm. Let's jump in here and
sure.
Let our listeners know what you think is important that they hear.
Well, I think the thing that's important is that we have a governor who's actually used this opportunity of a special session to call all the legislators back in. And you would think it would be for a weighty issue, for something that's extremely important to every taxpayer out there, or to every Colorado citizen. And I can tell you what's important to every Colorado citizen, because I go out and I talk to my constituents every day. And what their focus is basically make sure that you're not increasing our taxes, and make sure that you're spending the money wisely, and fix the roads, fix the roads. And, you know, this special session will do none of those.
Well, and everybody's being pulled back because of really about $6 million to RTD and whatever it is to the other special districts.
Right.
I mean, do you have are you surmising why, or what's your thoughts about it?
Well, I think that they realized they did something in haste, other than violating Tabor and the Constitution and single subject and everything else. Frankly, they weren't minding the store. It was a poorly written bill. And they made some major problems. So some of their the folks that were supporting 267, when all was said and done, they looked up and realized, oh, my gosh, we've got a big problem. We just shorted ourselves of dollars that we should be having coming from this. And, you know, this is what happens when you do something in haste. It was a 70-page bill, rewritten, struck below. There was a, you know, the grand fix was made, and that didn't happen until Thursday, and you only had a couple of days left, and you know, it's a problem when you do that. There's not a lot of good things that are passed with that timeline. If you see a large bill like that and it comes through, I was hearing from my caucus that the that 267 was sort of dead on arrival. We hadn't been able to reach. Yeah, we hadn't been able to reach a deal. You remember there was a $600 million Tabor violation. Basically, you know, usually when you create an enterprise, which was created with the hospital provider fee, it would require a reset of the taxpayer bill of rights cap. So if you're taking $600 million out of the budget and out of Tabor and giving it to an unelected group to manage, which is bad enough, then you would actually have to reset that Tabor cap to protect taxpayers so we don't just see a $600 million tax increase. But somehow they came up with the idea that, well, even though it's $600 million, we're going to do a $200 million reset.
So, crook. Yeah. I'm just calling crook on the government in general.
No one in particular. But
math major. Okay, I know that this is ridiculous, and I don't mean you, obviously, Senator Neville. But, you know, do you think that maybe there should be a new rule that if you're going to run for office, you need to pass a math test?
Oh, I think folks know their math, but, you know, the crony politics also knows where it can go for its math. And math means money, means dollars, and so that's what comes down. So the Rural Sustainability Act, as Senate Bill 267 is known, it's one of those grand fixes that has enough pork for everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's usually how these things are done. And that's exactly – but when all was said and done – they really screwed up the language and caused some problems, which they're trying to take care of in another way, which is probably not appropriate.
And just so our listeners know, the actual name of Senate Bill 17-267 is Concerning the Sustainability of Rural Colorado. And ideally, you know, we had, you know, people in rural Colorado that I think that they were part of this deal because they said they were trying to do something to protect their hospitals. Okay. You know, if that is that single subject, you guys can talk about it. You can vote on it, and that would be it. But then we see these COPs on these state buildings. And it took me a while to understand this because you're seeing this in cities and counties. Mm-hmm. And so basically a COP is called a certificate of participation. It's a way of leveraging those buildings to basically get money for government. And they're saying that they are actually, I guess they're putting those up as collateral. But honestly, a government building is collateral. Who's going to buy it?
Well, think of it as another mortgage. That's all they're doing. Well, investors. So the question is, why would somebody invest in a government building? Well, you know, they're going to lease it back or whatever else. But basically, it's as an investment. So there's going to be a payoff. So that payoff is going to come from where? Well, it's going to come from the taxpayers sooner or later if they want their building back. And so that's part of the plan. In other words, pay off your investors and also get some dollars. Leverage those. I don't have a problem with leveraging. We've actually had several bond bills that we ran prior, which were all turned down by the Democrats. and defeated in the House, and I think that was the right way to go. We actually had another bill last year, too, that Senate Bill 303, which would have actually given a way or a path to provide enough income to actually bond about $3.5 billion in actual roads and bridges. And, of course, that was off the table once 267 passed. And now let me ask you something. RTD and rural Colorado. Let me just put that out there. Natalie just
they have nothing to do with one another, really.
They both have an R in their name.
Okay. Right. So, you kind of won it. Sustaining rural, Colorado, but now we're going to make the world safe for RTD, which is, what, less than 1% of their budget, I think. Natalie, so
It's not really much. And, tying marijuana into it, because that's a sense, that's where the tax comes from. And when you're talking about, using different types of tools in the toolbox, like certificates of participation, Taxpayer's Bill of Rights really is not that difficult for those who don't get it. It's simply about asking the voters. And when government plays little games to avoid doing that, you got COPs that have component of there's a lender, there's interest, there's collateral, all the components of debt. And certificates of participation generally have a higher interest rate. So not only are they going around the taxpayers, they're paying more like in a shiftier, I don't want to use that word, but it's a higher interest rate. So is that in our best interest? No.
No. Again, I go back to the math major debate, and I think that you need to pass math and, a constitution questionnaire as well. So, Senator Neville, you may not be able to answer this question, but I'll just throw it out there. You think there's any potential that anyone who voted for Senate Bill 267 might change their mind this time around, and maybe we can get rid of it and actually go back and do it the legal way by going to the citizens for the vote to raise their taxes?
Well, Molly, it's you've got 35 in the Senate and 65 in the House that are coming from all different directions. I don't think they were expecting a special session for this. It's hard to say what the thoughts are from everybody in the caucus, let alone the whole chamber. We'll find out. I'm not sure that anybody that I've run into, the people that I've talked to at least, are not very excited about it's not coming back in a special session. But the question is, what are we doing? What are we actually trying to do? And if it was, really an issue that was extremely important to everybody in Colorado, we'd feel better about that. If the governor were calling us back in to actually fix the roads, to actually address something that he hasn't addressed, we're not talking about more transit. We're talking about roads, which is actually there's more roads in rural Colorado than there is mass transit, I believe. Mm-hmm. Then people would be actually excited about that. But no, they're not. So, again, we'll have to wait and see exactly what happens.
Anything cool and new that we should look forward to? We've only got about a minute, but for next legislative session.
Keep your eyes on PERA, public employment retirement. It's going to be a big issue. And, we kicked that can down the road. We had Senate Bill 1 back in 2010. It was supposed to solve everything. And at least we seem to have agreement that this is not sustainable as it is now, and we actually need to get down and do some work and create some fixes in the para-retirement fund before we look like the state of Illinois.
And what about cousin of House Bill 1242? Do we think we'll see anything like that, or have you,
The word I had, I was at a transit group meeting about a week ago, and my understanding is that they're going to try to put something on the ballot, but we may see, an attempt by some to do another referred measure. But, they want more. And like I said, if it was for roads, which is the fix we need, we could talk about that. But 1242 was another disaster last year, and my feeling is if they put that out to voters, they'll probably, if they want to get the signatures and go out and collect it and do the work, I heard a conversation that they were looking to raise about $8.5 million to get signatures and do a big campaign.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Well, it is. And that's the right of every group to do that. So sure. If the Denver Chamber and others want to do that, the question is, what are you going to get? And in 1242 there were so many loopholes and there was so much pork involved in there. That's why that bill was not going to see the light of day.
Okay. Well, Senator Tim Neville, thank you so much for being with us. And RTD Board Director Natalie Minton, thank you so much. This has really been a great show, a lot of great information. And we always like to end with a quote. So Ronald Reagan, this has to be just perfect. He says, "No government ever voluntarily reduces itself in size. Government programs, once launched, never disappear. Actually, a government bureau is the nearest thing to eternal life we'll ever see here on Earth."
This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, signing off. We'll see you every Monday to Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. right here on KDMT. Have a good night.